Genesis chapter number 29 for the preaching of God's word, the reading therein. Thank God for the Bible, God's holy word. It makes a difference. Now, there's a lot to cover here in these verses, and as to not read it all, let me just jump in and read several verses, and then we'll preach on more than what we read. Verse number 21, Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife. That's a good place to start for all you seniors. Amen. For my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. He went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me with yet another 7 years. Wow. Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel and his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Have me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work through the word that only you can do. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We began this chapter number 29, with what we call Bethel momentum. In chapter 28, Jacob found himself somewhat on the run. As a result of a horrible concoction that his mother came up with, he bought into it, lied to his father, stole from his brother, and we have a family that is spiraling in dysfunction. She sends him away, and really with no clue where he's going, no clue what's going to happen, he's out in the middle of nowhere, and nowhere ends up being Bethel. God showed up. How many of you are glad that God knows how to show up in the middle of nowhere? And that's what he did. And he met with him and he reminded him that we're still on track, young man. My covenant is still good. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to perpetuate you. I'm going to prepare you for what I have for you. I'm going to keep my promise. I'd like to thank God tonight that he knows how to keep his promises. And he promised Jacob that he would. And when Jacob woke up from Bethel, that he named Bethel, by the way, after God had met with him. How many of you have named some places in your life based on God meeting with you? And that's what he named it, Bethel, the house of God. It was formerly Luz, but now it was Bethel because God had met with him. He woke up with some momentum. He woke up with some pep in his step. He woke up with some assurance. He woke up with a second wind. He woke up off of a stone that became a pillow, off of a dream that became a vision, off of a scenario that became a situation where God could show up. And he woke up with some drive to keep on going for God. Thank God that when we're weary, God knows how to keep us going. So there he is in chapter 29, running on momentum with a staid course that leads him to a sovereign connection, following the leadership of God, just where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do, being where he's supposed to be. God runs him into a connection. It pays to be where you're supposed to be. By the way, it pays not to. David missed war, and the rest of his life has been characterized by his sin with Bathsheba. You ever wonder what it had been like if he had just gone where he's supposed to go? Pays to be in church on a Wednesday night. Somebody say amen. Pays to be in the house of God. It pays to meet God in the morning. It pays to be where you're supposed to be. Well, nothing happened. I didn't get in trouble. Nothing went wrong. Listen to me. Make no provision for the flesh. Just follow. where he leads you, not only will he protect you from harm, but he'll connect you with help. That's what he did. And there they were, watering the flock and giving them what they need. And sure enough, that sovereign connection led to a special companion. And they were not only there, but they warned him and told him that Rachel was around the corner. Amen. And here she comes. You young people, let me say this to you. God has somebody for you. You won't find that somebody by looking on your own. You'll find that somebody by living in God's will. God will run you into, listen to me, you hang in the right places, you'll find somebody else that hangs in the right places. Amen. The last thing you want to do is go to the wrong place looking for the right person. Because if the right person in the wrong place, they're really not the right person. Somebody say amen. Amen. Find God's will and where God wants you to be. And there she was doing what she did. There he was doing what he did. And God was bringing them together in this special companion. So we saw here Rachel appears. He's happy about it. Amen. And this is for me. He says, you're for me. But he wasn't quite ready for her. He thought he was. How many of us have found ourselves thinking we're ready for something we're really not? And by the way, I would like to thank God for not giving me the things I wanted when I wanted them. Somebody better say amen. And sometimes we're saying, God, what's taking you so long? I see it, I know it, I want it, and I want it now. And God says, you're going to have it, but I need to get you ready. So last week we began this subject of growing pains. What is it you want? What is it you see? What is it you've spotted? It's a good thing. It's a God thing. It's a grace thing. And God's going to give it to you, but not now. He wasn't ready for Rachel. He wasn't ready for marriage. He needed some maturing. He needed some developing. Anybody in the house tonight that knows you still need to grow? Amen. And sometimes God said, I'm taking you somewhere, but not now. I'm giving you something, but not now. I've got something for you, but not now. I'm trying to grow you. I'm trying to groom you. I'm trying to develop you. I'm trying to mature you. And by the way, God's will for us must be agreed upon. Listen to me. The Christian life is never coming up with a plan and asking God to stamp it. It is moving in agreement to God's plan. So we're going to watch him grow. Last week, we looked at growing pains involving, number one, willing cooperation. See, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to learn how to work with people. Here he is. I mean, there she is. I mean, I like her. She likes me. What's the problem? Let's just get married and just go ride off into the sunset on our camels and live happily ever after. Wait a minute. Just because you like her and she likes you doesn't mean she doesn't have a daddy. Amen. And doesn't mean you need to learn how to work for something. Doesn't mean that it's just going to flow just the way you, just because you spot what you want. I mean, you drive past a car dealership and say, I like that car. Well, you do just walk up in there and drive off with it? No, you got to pay for it. You got to apply for it. You got to get approved for it. Listen to me. Some of you have spotted your car, but you haven't earned your credit. Somebody help me preach. Some of you need to build some credit. Listen to me, young people. The last thing you want to do in the world is go chasing something right now in life you can't afford. Amen. And I've seen Christian people. Listen, if you're called to preach, that doesn't mean you're ready to pastor. Just because you like a girl doesn't mean you're ready to marry her. Just because you're halfway good at something don't mean you need to be a ministry leader. I'm saying you need to take time to build some credit. And that's what he's going to do. And God's trying to help you build some credit. And by the time you do, you'll be glad you did. So he had to respect authority. Notice, here goes Rachel. He, in so many words, says, hey, I'm for you, you're for me. We talked about this. Genesis 11, he kissed her, lifted up his voice, wept. Don't y'all go kissing girls now. That's just a whole different dispensation. Amen. Verse number 12, told her, I'm of the right family. I'm Rebecca's son. She told her father. Now watch this now. Jacob, you're going to marry her, but you got to work through the right authority. You'll never bypass authority and get to God. God's design is for authority. And so the respected authority and the responsive acceptance, all of a sudden, Laban buys in on this, the reassuring acknowledgement. Verse number 14, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. Listen, if it's of God, God will work it out. He buys in on it. The relational abode, there he stays with him a space of a month, talking about nothing about Rachel, just building a relationship with her father. God help us. Social media has robbed us of the sensible ability to build relationships. Amen. I mean, people don't even know how to talk, have a conversation, how to work anything out. They sit beside each other and text each other. I'm just simply saying, every once in a while you need to get with somebody, have some quality time, and learn how to build a relationship. Put the phone down, the internet down, Facebook down, Instagram down, and take your mouth and their ears, their mouth and your ears, and build something of quality. For a month, he's building a relationship. And then there's a real attraction. I really like her. I really like her. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 15. Thou, my brother, should thou serve me? For naught, what would thy wages be? He had two daughters. One, Rachel. She's beautiful. One's Leah. She's tender-eyed. That's another word for not that beautiful. Don't bother looking at the commentary, all right? Verse 18, he loved Rachel. And he's willing to serve her. So he relays an appeal. I would like her. And I'll serve you for her. There's a reciprocal agreement that happens. Okay, here's the deal, verse 20. 7 years. That's the deal. You serve me 7 years. Verse number 18, 7 years for your daughter. Laban said, better I give her to you than to another man. Abide with me. Fine, we'll work it out. And we're moving the right way because we're working together. Growing pains. Until. Growing pains not only introduces us to willing cooperation, but what I call worrisome confusion. 7 years. Write this down. There's a sweet process going on. Oh, yeah. He's working for 7 years and enjoying it. Verse number 20. They seemed to him but a few days for the love he had to her. Isn't it amazing how things are not so tedious when we love them? Somebody say amen. Boy, isn't it amazing how people can watch a movie for 3 hours and can't stay in church for more than one? Somebody help me preach. Isn't it amazing how the people of God can enjoy a game that goes in overtime and not a service that goes in overtime? I'm telling you, you won't be bothered by so much if you really love it. May God help us love the things of God. May we love serving God and love worshiping God and love doing things for God. Doesn't mean they're not work, but they're worth the work when we love them. So there's a supposed plan. I mean, there's a supposed plan. I'm going to work for 7 years. And then there's a straightforward plea. After 7 years that seem like a few days, he turns to Jacob, turns to Laban and says to him in verse number 21, give me my wife. Pretty bold, isn't it? For my days, in other words, I did my job. Give me my wife. Sure. We got a place. We got a feast. It's evening time. We'll handle this traditionally correct. We'll send her to you. You all will live happily ever after. Except he looks up for Rachel. And there go them tender eyes. Can you imagine? Can you fellas imagine? Are you a senior?
Yes.
How old are you?
17.
You want to get married?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You ain't even hesitate. Like, you know it, don't you? Do you know who you want to marry yet?
Whoever got older.
Oh, great spiritual answer. Now tell me the truth. No, I'm just kidding. can you imagine in if you were living in Bible days and you married this and you can't see her till after this and she's presented and brought to you and you look up at your bride that you've just married at the time appointed to see her and it's the wrong woman. I have a feeling you wouldn't be saying, "Hello, you were whoever God wanted me to marry." Now, here's what I call worrisome confusion. Pastor, why do I need to grow up? Here's why. You need to grow up so you know how to react when confusion comes. Now, wait a minute now. God is not the author of confusion, but he is the allower of confusion. Jacob, you know why you need to go through some growing pains? Because we're going to see how you handle getting Leah when you thought you were getting Rachel. Now, how many of us in the building have kind of veered off God's track for our lives by the way we reacted to confusion? That's not what I planned on. That's not what I signed up for. That's not what the paper said. That's not what we talked about on that altar. That's not what I said I was going to do for the rest of my life. Yeah, but you better wake up and mature and understand that everything you write down on paper doesn't necessarily happen. Switched places. What in the world? And this ain't Parent Trap. They don't look alike. I mean, he could tell it wasn't the one. What do you do when what you work for doesn't show up on your stub? What do you do when the pay doesn't match the hours? Huh? What do you do when you've been working hard and you don't feel you got what you deserve? Somebody help me. What do you do when it felt like you were moving the right direction and you were smooth sailing and you saw the hand of God masterfully working in your life, but all of a sudden you wake up one day and go, 2 plus 2 is not 5. Is God still in control? He's growing you. He's growing you. What do you do in the college that you dream to go to? You don't get in. The relationship you've been in for a while doesn't turn out right. The people that you looked up to fail you. What do you do when the thriving business runs into a wall? What do you do when a healthy body ends up sick? What do you do when you're serving God and disease comes and trouble comes and situation? I'll tell you what, you keep growing up. So there's subsequent passion that comes out of Jacob, and understandably so. What? 25. What is this thou hast done unto me? Don't you love old English? You know, we would be better Christians if we learned to speak that way. It just doesn't sound as bad, doesn't it? If people made you mad and you just said, "What is this that thou hast done to me?" It would help tone down your temper, wouldn't it? I mean, you can't be mad saying that because you got to think too hard how to get it out. What is this that thou hast done to me? You know, I'm telling you what, he knew how to speak it. He was able to be mad and say it. And he was. What in the world have you done? What kind of setup is this? I mean, I worked 7 years. I mean, we had a deal. I mean, you told me that if I did my wages and I work like you said, you told me that she would be mine, and now I have her. That's what happened. What are you going to do, Jacob? Listen to Laban. And he gave under her daughter Zilpah, so she gets a maid and a handmaid. His maid for a handmaid. Verse 25, wrong one. You've beguiled me. You tricked me. Verse 26. It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And you know what Jacob's thinking? Oh, you telling me now? You want to read me your cultural laws now, 7 years in the hole, in debt? Verse 27, fulfill her week. We will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. This is confusion. Confusion comes when the deal is broken and now you're adding stuff to it. Here's the question. Will you still work? Or you just throw your hands up? I love the girl. She's pretty, but she ain't worth no 14 years. Now, there are people, listen to me. There are people of God that today are living outside of destiny because they ran up on confusion and quit. Listen, there are people not in church today because somebody in church hurt them. They left God mad at somebody. Somebody help me preach. And you're going to run into confusion. Something's going to happen you didn't plan on. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody's going to break the deal. Some seemingly honest person is going to lie to you. Some hero is going to fall. Some dream is going to crumble. Some bubble is going to be busted. And you've got to find out whether or not somebody failing you means God is not good anymore. I'm telling you what the songwriter said. Dreams will fail and plans will crumble. And your bets may not come through, but you get up, you wipe your knees off, you put the band-aid on for one reason. Jesus will still be there. And it takes some growing to get there. Whew. Wow. Jacob wasn't ready for marriage. He wasn't ready for Rachel. He ended up with Leah first. But there was successful performance because after fulfilling her week, the Bible says 28, he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And by the way, according to scripture, he served 7 years, got the wrong one, fulfilled a week, got her, and still served 7 more years. And by the way, don't be one of them sorry Christians that promises to do something and then gets your payment before you fulfill your promise and don't keep your promise. Some people you can't pay in advance. You will never get no work done. Come on. I mean, I don't care how much money you have in your pocket. You'll do what you said you're going to do. Successful performance. Number three, this is where we'll close tonight. Growing pains. What happens painfully while I'm growing? Number one, willful or willing cooperation. You can't grow alone without working with people. Well, I don't like the food with people. You won't grow. No man is an island unto himself. You can be an introvert. You can be shy. You cannot be a social butterfly. That's fine. But you need to be around other people to grow. Iron sharpeneth iron. You need to learn how to respond to authority. You need to learn how to work with your people. Well, I'm alone. I like to work by myself. Well, too bad. You're not the only one on the job. You have to learn. By the way, that's what a good local church is. Work with people and don't always pick the same people to work with. You got to learn. That's part of growing. Well, we don't work well together. We need to grow. Don't get quiet. Worrisome. I said it like black folks say it. Sorry. Worrisome is not a word, okay? But it sure make you understand it better. Worrisome confusion. Number three. Now he's living with two wives. How about it, fellas? Two Valentine's gifts? Two birthdays, two anniversaries. Two choices for what for dinner? Yes. Willing cooperation, worrisome confusion. This is number three, woeful contention. Growing pain. How to deal with conflict. Don't you wish life was never involving contention? Now listen to the scripture, the book of Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, here's Leah. Guess what? That's your wife. Here's Rachel. Guess what? That's your wife. And here he is, stuck in the middle. Now, I'm not preaching on polygamy tonight. And I don't want you to go tell Dr. Pastor Wilkerson that I gave you advice on what to do with your two wives. But I would tell you that one of the things that is a sign of immaturity in the Christian life is the inability to thrive while dealing with different relationships. Differing relationships. I got one here and I got one here, and they both got the same title. But they've got the same title, but they're not the same woman. Now, every one of us has to deal with this. You have people in your life, they're all friends, but they're different people. And here's where Jacob was. He not only had two people with the same title that were different individuals, but he ain't liked them both the same. Now look at the passage. This is practical Bible teaching. Look what the Bible says about one of them. He loved Rachel, verse 30, more than Leah. Look up here. Come on now, keep it real. Do you have friends in your life? And you look at one that you really like and the other one you put up with. Come on, thank you, Talia. Got one honest person in the building. And we won't ask you to point out who's who, but anyway, it's okay. Now, what do you do? Write this down. There was a natural affinity or affection for one and a negative effect on the other. Now, anytime you're dealing with people, that both of them are in your life and both of them share a title in your life, here's what happens. If you treat one well, the other one is going to feel mistreated. And here you are in the middle. Do you ever battle with balance? Come on. I think it's one of the most difficult things in the Christian life is balance. If you're not battling with balance, you just decided you're going to fail because you have to battle with it. And by the way, balance is not always deciding whether to do right or wrong. It's deciding about better and best. It's deciding between two good things. Neither one is bad, but you've got to decide. You're only one person. He's only one man. He's got two wives. And he's got to find a way to spend time with both of them so that both of them are happy, but he likes one more than he likes the other. Differing relationships. And look what God did in the midst of this contention. He brought about divine reproduction. Now look what the Bible says. I'm closing. He loved Rachel more than Leah, served yet another 7 years. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. Boy, don't you like that God knows how to look out for the underdog. And by the way, I'm not just preaching to the Christian trying to balance. I'm also preaching to the one who gets most of the attention. You better watch your pride. But I'm over here preaching to Leah over here. Because some people in the building feel like you've been hated. Feel like you've been mistreated. Feel like you've been left out. You've been the black sheep. You've been the unwanted one. You've been the one that nobody, look, listen to me. I'm saying you keep doing what you're supposed to do because God looks out for the underdog. Listen to what the Bible said. When the Lord saw she was hated, wow, he opened her womb. Listen, divine reproduction. God took somebody who wasn't getting what she needed from a human being and gave her what she needed from a heavenly being. That's why you never need to choose your happiness based on people and things. You need your joy from Almighty God. Because I'm telling you what, the best of people will fail you. The best of circumstances will change on you. The best of plans will go awry. But when nobody notices you and nothing seems to work, aren't you glad God knows how to bring about reproduction? Here's the desperate reality going on in Leah. Here's what she's thinking. Maybe by having children, he'll love me. Boy, isn't Genesis introducing us to real life crises? Boy, if I have his child, he'll love me. There's this mindset of the flesh of humanity that somehow I can bribe somebody into loving me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Listen to me. You know what growing pains are going to have to involve? You're going to have to let God be God. You're going to have to let God be God. And you're going to also have to figure out that just because you put all your attention into one person doesn't mean God's going to use the other one. Listen, I've been there. I've seen young Christians look at them and say, wow, they're going to go far. They got potential. They got the hand of God on them. They got the whole package. Oh, God, you're going to use them. And meanwhile, over here, maybe somebody that doesn't look that polished, doesn't look that full of potential, doesn't look like he's going somewhere, and lo and behold, Mr. 10 out of 10 ends up somewhere living for the devil, and Mr. Nobody ends up doing something for God. You don't play God.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen.
He knows. And here's the desperate reality that there are actually people sitting in churches today who think that doing something in the flesh will actually make someone love them. Do right and let God handle it. And meanwhile, there's a definite restriction, and this is where we close. God not only let Leah have kids, he stopped Rachel from having them. Amen. Listen, just because you are your parents' favorite, the school's favorite, and the church's prediction to go far in life doesn't mean that's the way it's going to go. Amen. Just because you're the best soloist and the nicest dresser and the one that has it together doesn't mean that 5 years from now you're the one barren. And the person you look down on is the one that's blessed. Wow. It's contention. Confusion and contention. And here's the man in the middle of it who a few verses later laid eyes on Rachel and said in his mind, bingo! We're ready to go. Lo and behold, she was there. He'd have to work for her for 14 years. She was there. He'd have to meet her daddy before he ever got her. She was there. He'd get her sister by accident before he ever got her. She was there. He'd have both of them at the same time, and the one he didn't like gonna have the kids, and the one he did like couldn't have none. Lord have mercy. When you find yourself in the Christian life in the middle of coordination, confusion, and contention, you can't change any of it. But there's one thing you can do. You can grow up. And just maybe, God, who doesn't author these things, some of them, allows all of them. Because through it all, you're going to come out more mature on the other side than you were when you went in. Don't fight the growing pains. Everybody has them. And my, how bad we need them. Our Father, we thank you. I pray for some Christian in the building tonight right now has already been convicted, is growing. Going through some things, they look like they're going well, and all of a sudden they take a turn. Things seem good, and all of a sudden they get derailed. Maybe somebody in the building who feels like Leah, hated and mistreated. Somebody in the building who feels like Rachel, the main one. Truth of the matter is, they all needed growth. But Jacob is the covenant one. And getting to where God wanted him was going to take growing pains. And I pray that God would allow us all to experience the same. In Jesus' name, amen.